Julian, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us all the way from over in the UK, of course. Now, looking at the Maria Sharapova case this week, it is probably a fairly good example of zero tolerance in sport doping. You've argued against zero tolerance in the past. Why is that?
Well, most of the substances that athletes are taking, such as Mildrenate that Sharapova are taking, are safe enough. And their effects on performance are very modest at best. And what you see is an ever-increasing list of banned substances that embroil rugby and Australian rules football. And in the Essendon saga, the substances were not explicitly banned initially. It was a retrospective ban. And this kind of approach is ruining sport. Now, it's clear that, you know, Sharapova isn't somehow violating the spirit of tennis by taking a mild, possibly ineffective performance enhancer. That was legal until
8 weeks ago. Mm. Now, just this week, Olympic gold medal winning Russian ice dancer Ekaterina Bobrova also tested positive for the same performance enhancing drug as Sharapova. Sharapova has claimed her use or her initial use was for an underlying medical issue. If that's true, how can medical necessity be balanced with the possible changes in performance offered by some of these treatments?
Yeah, well, it's very difficult. You've got, about 7% of baseballers now with attention deficit disorder diagnosed, and that means they can legally take Ritalin, which is like amphetamine, which all of them were taking before it was pursued. You've got 550 professional cyclists who now have asthma that can take asthma medication. So the distinction between disease and health is a very fuzzy one. And the problem with this sort of approach is that, you know, if you're smart, you'll just get a medical exemption, a therapeutic exemption. Lance Armstrong was once caught for taking a steroid and simply got a letter saying that he'd used a steroid cream for saddle rash. So, again, this sort of approach is just not workable in practice. We need a more rational approach and focus on the substances or the use that's very risky, or things that really distort a sport, like the use of beta blockers in archery. But fortunately, both of those endpoints are easy to detect. The problem with the current system is that it's trying to keep up with an ever-growing list of performance-enhancing substances that are safe, and that it's trying to detect small movements within normal human physiology. And that's why you don't pick up the blood doping, the EPO, the steroids, because athletes are just taking small doses that aren't harmful and go under the radar.
Mm. I quite like the use of that word rational that you said there, Julian, because after all, I mean, it seems maybe a knee-jerk reaction, but it seems quite natural to me as somebody who would watch sport to say, oh, well, you know, something like the fabric of the uniforms, the better training that might be available to certain competitors, that's fair. But taking something, injecting something, eating something that somehow enhances your performance, that is unfair. But that is, as I say, a knee-jerk reaction. How do we actually separate? Well, how do we actually come up with the idea that doping is contextualized as this negative practice in relation to the numerous other advantages that competitors are legally allowed to give themselves?
Well, there's a kind of bias towards the natural. I mean, it's unfair if some people are allowed to take it and others aren't. But up until January, anyone could take Mildrenate if they wanted to. And it actually accounts for 0.7%, so nearly 1% of Latvia's total export. So it's a huge market. So the same applies to something like caffeine. Caffeine used to be on the ban list. It's a performance-enhancing substance. If you take enough of it, it'll kill you. But it's now perfectly legal, and it's regularly used by endurance athletes because it increases the time to exhaustion by 10%. And the reason that was taken off the banned list is because it's conceived of being natural because it occurs in coffee and tea, but you can also produce it in a pill form. And the problem with Wada's approach is that it focuses on the naturalness of a performance enhancer instead of whether it really is significantly risky or whether it's really distorting of the sport. So I think the knee-jerk reaction is an expression, you know, of, first of all, the idea that only some people are getting access to these substances, and secondly, that they're somehow unnatural and therefore dangerous. And both of those can be addressed by changing the rules, as we did with caffeine. And that hasn't changed the spectacle of sport. Nobody worries that cyclists like Chris Hoy, you know, have five shots of espresso before riding in their races.
Mm. So just as perhaps a final point there, Julian, how would we start down this road? How would you like to see these sporting bodies actually start down the road towards a more reasoned, more rational approach?
Well, the first thing you need to do is just get rid of this ridiculous criterion for banning something that is performance enhancing. I mean, that is just, you know, completely inconsistent with the whole of sport and sporting practices and the use of altitude training and hypoxic air tents and caffeine and creatine and all the things that are allowed to enhance performance. So get rid of that rule and cut down the list by about 90% to the substances that are shown to be significantly unsafe, and measure athletes' health. So you can tell if somebody's taking too much steroid or blood or EPO by measuring their blood parameters in a very simple, reliable, and easily enforceable way. And so if we focused more on athletes' health, and limited the number of substances on the ban list to the things that were really unsafe or really changed the nature of performance. And I'll tell you some substances that ought to be on the ban list that aren't, and those are the extremely strong opiate painkillers like tramadol that footballers and rugby players can take that enable them to destroy their joints and continue playing. And that's perfectly legal, but that, I think, should be on a ban list. And that's very easy to detect if people are taking painkillers during play.
Well, Julian, thank you very much. Really appreciate your insight into this one, because, as I say, it is perhaps a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction, and maybe we need to take this step back and actually and think a little bit about, well, what exactly we consider natural or unnatural going into our athletes. Really appreciate your time.